All right, we've assembled the roundtable. Jim Donovan from the Browns Radio Network, Doug Deacon, analyst for the Radio's Network, and Tom Withers from the AP. Guys, this it's a different conversation, I guess, from last week because of the way the offense performed, but it's the same also because the Browns lost. But I think the mood is somewhat upbeat because of that, Jimmy.
Yeah, it's a unique situation around town. I think that people are kind of bright and bubbly on a Monday after a Browns loss, but that is because of what they saw, and it was offensively. And specifically, it was with the two top picks and how great they were in their second game as opposed to what they did last week. So I think people feel better and now anticipate, I think, a win Sunday. I think people now say, okay, let's do it now Sunday. It's time to win.
I mean, Deke, do you take that much? First of all, were you surprised to see how far, say, a Brandon Whedon came along in 1 week, and in general, how much more of a punch that this offense had after just looking as awful as it did against Philadelphia?
No, I don't think you're surprised when you realize that, you know, Trent Richardson had really not played. Ben Watson hadn't worked with Whedon. You still got the young wide receivers, the offensive line. You know, they're getting accustomed to one another. And, you know, it's a step. You know, now we're looking at the backside of the defense, and they need to take the step. So, you know, when you got to get all three components together, and then you get wins when you get the offense, defense, and the special teams all playing at a high level on a weekly basis.
Not to throw the cold bucket of water on the bright and bubbly, but just too many penalties, mistakes. I mean, you know, you started with the punt return where there were six missed tackles. You know, obviously some blown coverages here and there. Some bad penalties, you know, a couple offsides, guys lined up offsides, the crucial offside on the third and one in the fourth quarter. Right. So a lot of great things, Vic. You know, as Jimmy said, you know, to see Richardson and Whedon play at that level in their second NFL game speaks a lot.
Yeah.
You know, though, I will say, and I know there's debate about this, that people say, well, I mean, they gave up a punt return, but it was early. They should have been able to overcome it. But I have to tell you, and I know I mentioned it on the radio a couple of times as the broadcast went along during the game, I just felt you chased that all day long. You looked at that 7 points,
yes,
and you just chased it all day long. I think you were never in the lead.
And the team progressed, but the officiating regressed. That was horrible yesterday.
You know, I was talking to a couple of the players today, Vic, and they were saying that they would love to see these referees be mic'd on the field because the indecision in their voices and just when they come together to say, hey, you know, what'd you see? What have I seen? And as you saw after the comments yesterday from around the league, I think something's really coming to a head here.
Well, the knowledge of the rules yesterday was even obvious.
Yeah, I think, and so that has to come up in the conversation about 10 penalties, but 10 penalties are still penalties that get you beaten. We
Too
heard
many.
Pat Shurmur say in the news conference that, you know, that the point being that the pre-snap ones are the killers, and the ones that you can't really accept or tolerate. You probably have a hard time tolerating any of them. But the other thing is about the broken record of, well, we're a young team, and he said this on the show, that you can't just keep going back to that because they're always going to be young.
Yeah.
I mean, young is going to be the theme. So after a while, that too turns into just white noise.
Well, and for a lot of us here, I think that was in vogue. I think we were excited about the fact that they were young because a few years ago they were old and they were slow. Now they're young and they're fast, and we buy into that.
You know, they're young, but they improved at a high rate within one game. So that's something to get you excited about.
Yeah.
And Trent Richardson, guys, we saw, and we knew this was there, or at least what we thought it would be based on his Alabama career, Tom, and to see him actually do it in a Browns uniform and do extraordinary things. He didn't just make big plays. He made big plays that you're going to highlight reel in your head for a while.
No question, Vic. I mean, that catch and run on the check down is about as good as we've seen here in 14 years, and I don't want to say that we saw it coming, but I saw it coming last week in practice.
Did you get the impression those defensive backs saw him run over Coleman, though, to why they tried to tackle him? They were
exactly
on a backpedal.
There were a lot of arm tackles there. Yeah, he made a couple guys miss on that play as well, though. But I thought last week in practice, he had his legs under him. He showed that explosiveness. He was ready to go. You know, if the Ray Malaluga quotes, you know, came up, you got to hope that one of the Bills linebackers spouts off this week.
Well, you know, I watched them because they were on national television every week last year and throughout his career. And I watched them last year. There was a run against Mississippi, Ole Miss, that he had where he ran over a couple of guys and then made a bunch of people miss and spun. And I said, when we got him, I said, well, he'll never be able to do that on Sundays.
Because of NFL defenses, but he did it.
He did it.
And I don't think he's going to have to worry about the Bills linebacker saying anything because Jim Brown's coming to the game.
There you go.
There you go. Nice. It's the round table. Jim Donovan, Doug Deacon, Tom Withers here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Guys, so the other thing, I guess, is what this means for just the overall confidence, attitude, whatever it might be, but this is still a team that now at 0-2, we know what the stats say about 0-2 and no playoffs at the end of the rainbow for a team that starts like this, but it does ramp up. We talked about last week how important Game 2 was. Game 3 jumps to that level too, because this improvement matters, but only if I think it leads to something. Like you said, in town, it's got to lead to a win.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I don't think expectations are too high, but I think it's the next step, and I think they've been in position to win each one of these games, and now it's time to win. So I think if they improve a little bit more and play more of a complete game and win the game Sunday,
it's there.
Then we're there. Now we're rolling a little bit. It's almost like that year, Deke, when they went 10-6 and they came out in the second game, I think, and put like 51 points up on the board against Cincinnati with Derek Anderson.
Right.
You're kind of going, okay, wow, here we go. We might be able to do something.
Is DeQuell Jackson just trying to carry this team on his back too? I mean, you get the sense of purpose that he has, the way he's playing. He's making plays. That's one thing. But just the way he's going about it, three sacks, the interception, the interception return for a touchdown the week before. Doug, I know we shouldn't be surprised, but it just looks like there's something else in his game.
Well, I just think, you know, he's a guy that was out of football for 2 years. He missed it greatly. He took that time and devoted it to making himself better mentally so that when, you know, he got back on the field, he could do it. And, you know, yesterday he had a little help because all of a sudden the calls weren't just on his shoulders. He had Scott out there to help, you know, on the checkdowns and or checkoffs and things like that. So I think, you know, the fact he's got some bodies up front are is also
Absolutely.
Helping him too, because, you know, last year they were new, they were, you know, not always where they were supposed to be, and you can see them just kind of grow together.
Yeah, and the other guy that I thought stepped up in ways that should be noticed on the offensive side would be Muhammad Masakwa. I mean, there's a receiver who we know what he's been capable of, and he's shown flashes of. I thought yesterday, Tom, was the first sense that I got that this might actually have some traction.
100% agree, Vic, and Pat Shermer said that today too. He noticed a different mo this year. I mean, obviously, you know, the Harrison hit, I think, lingered for that kid for a long time, and he was a different player for a long time. But even watching him in practice, there's just an extra burst in his step as well, Vic. And, that's what they need. They need one of those guys to become, you know, a legitimate number one wide receiver.
And, you know, it wasn't just yesterday. The first game, he had a good game, too. And, you know, for the Josh Gordons and the Greg Littles of the world, you know, now they got somebody to look, you know, see how they're doing it.
How it's done.
And that's the next step now, don't you think, is that you look for one of those guys or those guys to take the next step. I think Gordon, you know, as predicted by Tom Heckert when he said, hey, listen, whatever we get out of him this year because of what he's missed, it's probably going to be a little slower. So I think, you know, you hope for him to come along because he's an enticing body athlete out there. And the same with Benjamin. I mean, it's got to be more than just reverses.
Yeah, they've both. We need to start seeing that in a hurry. They don't have any luxury or any cushion to gradually get into this. They have to deliver now because they're put in that position to deliver now.
Absolutely.
And from you know, back to the defensive side of the ball, the pass rush. This has been, I think, an area, if we know that was an area they looked to address over these last couple of years. That's coming to fruition. This team is generating heat. Quarterbacks are uncomfortable behind. We've seen 2 weeks in a row now where this legitimately is a strong pass rush.
Oh, it really is. It just, the numbers don't add up in the last 2 weeks to get five turnovers in the opening game and lose.
Six sacks.
And to get six sacks on the road
and
in
lose.
Game two and lose. So, I mean, you know, they are defying odds. I mean, they should be proud of that, but I mean –
I mean, Deke, the pass rush to you, is it – we're seeing young people involved, but we're seeing, you know, the guys that they brought in, Frosty Rucker got in the picture, Jaquay Parker, obviously DeQuell, but it looks like there's reasons it's happening for those guys because those young people in the middle, John Hughes in particular, Billy Wynn, they're making their impact.
Yeah, I mean, you've gotten a more athletic, quicker defensive team. I mean, you know, when Mangini was here, we had a couple, you know, tail gunners on beer trucks playing the defensive line. And, you know, that didn't exactly, you know, get to the quarterback.
You know, on the other side of the ball too, Vic, I mean, I thought Brandon Whedon really stood in the pocket yesterday and,
yeah.
and with some pressure coming at him and made some pretty big throws and a couple where, you know, he wasn't even able to follow through on a couple passes.
And it's that thing, right, that we were looking for, the difference that he'll make as a stand tall in the pocket and make the play guy, because really that you if you have that, you have obviously you got to have the ability to make plays and all the other talent, but as a starting point, that's something the quarterback desperately has
that
to
touchdown throw to Little.
Tremendous.
I mean, that was, that was tremendous, and you didn't appreciate it until you saw it on replay.
Right. All right, well, great stuff, guys. Appreciate it, and we will reconvene on Friday to preview the Bills and the Browns. Jim Donovan, Doug Deacon, Tom Withers, the Roundtable. Much more is coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, as you listen to ESPN 850 WKNR.